The readings this morning are from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So first of all, from Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Wisdom's call. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries out aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind." And then we go on to verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields, or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. And now we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, starting at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Seated. Great pleasure to invite Adrian now to speak to us.
Good morning, everyone.
Ooh, now can you hear me? Well, thank you for having me on Trinity Sunday, the Sunday of the year when vicars across the nation invite a guest speaker. On his instruction sheet to me, Chris said, he wrote this, "Please help us deepen our understanding of the Trinity," and then in brackets, exclamation mark, which is a kind of winky emoji that says, "See how I've landed in you in it, Archdeacon." Over to you. You try and sort out the Trinity. If you're hoping that I'm going to use lots of clever illustrations, like the egg, shell, yolk, white, one egg, three bits. Or maybe like water, ice, steam. You've all heard that one, haven't you? Water, but in three different forms. Well, if you think that's how I'm going to get you to understand the Trinity, you are sorely disappointed. Why? For two reasons. The first is this. In the words of one theologian, the Trinity, try to understand it and you'll lose your mind. Try to deny it and you'll lose your soul. It's an absolutely essential truth that God is one and yet exists as Father, Son, as Holy Spirit. But if you try and work it out in your head, you will always fail. Actually, those images of egg or water, in the end, they always fall down or fall short. But the second thing I want to say is this. The Bible absolutely affirms the Trinity. It's there in the passage we had, that little short passage. You find Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in those four verses or five verses. And they're all talking to each other. And they're relating to each other. And the Bible's not embarrassed of that at all. But nowhere will you ever go in the Bible where it will explain to you how can it be that one God is in three persons. It just is not embarrassed simply to say it's true. And so my firm belief is not that the Trinity as a kind of concept is something we're asked to understand, but the Trinity is a God who we're asked to relate to. The question, Chris, is not help us deepen our understanding of the Trinity. I think that's the wrong emphasis, sorry. But rather it should be, Adrian, help us to deepen our relationship with the Trinity. It's not like a scientist, stick it under a microscope and work out how it works. It is now in relationship. How can I know God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit better day by day? You see, I think the Trinity, the very concept of Trinity, is all about relationship and communication. And it teaches us about what it means to be in relationship with our God and in communication with our God. There was a couple who had been married for 60 years, not 20, but 60. And they had a big party to celebrate. And in a quiet moment, the wife turned to the husband and said, "It's great that we've been married for 60 years, but do you know, in all those 60 years, you've never once told me that you love me." So the husband turned to the wife and said, "Do you remember the day I asked you to marry me? I told you I loved you then, didn't I?" "And yes," said the wife. "Well," said the husband, "when the situation changes, I'll let you know." We all know, don't we, that relationships and communication go together. If you ever go on a marriage preparation course or a marriage enrichment course, or even if marriages are going badly wrong, the one thing they'll say is, are you communicating? Are you talking together? Are you listening and communicating? And what the Trinity tells us is that God is a God of relationship and communication. You see, that's why God is a God of love. Have you ever thought, if God was just God on his own, it would make no sense that he's a God of love, because who has he been loving for all those years before he ever created us? Love is something that involves somebody else. Otherwise, it's meaningless as a concept. And God didn't create human beings just because he was lonely and needed someone to love. You know, God's just there, "I'm this great God of love, but I've got no one to love. So I'll go and create human beings." No, God was already in a loving relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Loving each other, caring for each other, communicating with each other long before we ever came along. But the privilege and good news of the gospel is that God wants to invite us as human beings to join in that relationship that already exists between a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit. God's invitation is that you can come in and enjoy that relationship as we've been enjoying it for eternity, and talk to us and be spoken to just as we have been doing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eternity. Do you realize what an extraordinary thing it is to be brought into relationship with God? To join in that what has been already going on for eternity. You see, the key theme of the Bible is, how can God have a loving relationship with the people that he has made? And in fact, each member of the Trinity plays a really vital role in enabling that relationship that we might have with God. I'm going to take you through the whole Bible in about 4 minutes. No. Would you remember just this theme of relationship and communication, that it's God the Father who first speaks. Remember right at the beginning of Genesis? God created by speaking. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we find in Genesis that God speaks to Adam and Eve. Do you remember it says that he used to go down in the evening and kind of walk with them and talk with them? That God is a God who loves to talk to those that he's made. But then you'll also know that in that talking, because of his love, he says, "You can enjoy the whole garden, have whatever you like. It's all for you except that one tree. Everything else is great, just not that one tree." But of course they stop listening. They start listening to a different voice, the voice of the serpent, the voice of their own heart that says, actually, I'm not sure I like being told what to do by God. I think I prefer to do what I want to do. And at that moment, they eat the fruit, and at that moment, what happens? The relationship between God and his people breaks down. When people stop listening to God, the relationship breaks down. Just as in human relations, when we stop listening to each other, the relationship breaks down. But the Bible says that God still loves his people. So God keeps communicating with his people. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and if you're in your small group this week, you might want to look at that passage alongside this passage. God tells us that how does he speak to people, he says in the book of Hebrews, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So the whole Old Testament is God trying to speak to his people and say, hey, I'm here. Come back to me. I want to be in a relationship with you. But you'll know that for all those years that the Old Testament covers, in the end, the problem is still the same. That the human heart is still selfish. The human heart prefers to listen to its own voice than it does the voice of God. It doesn't want to be in relationship with God. It wants to do its own thing. And that's the reason why, of course, secondly, Jesus comes, the second person of the Trinity. And through Jesus, God speaks perfectly and reconciles us completely to God. You see, in the book of Hebrews, it goes on to say, yeah, in the former days, God used to speak to us by all these prophets, but now he's spoken to us in his Son, Jesus. And he tells us two very important things about Jesus. The first is this. He is exactly like God. He says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Did you know that God takes selfies? We all thought selfies are a relatively recent invention. But God took the first selfie when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you want to know what I'm like? You want to hear my voice? You want to understand me? You want to have a relationship with me? Come to Jesus. Because when you meet Jesus, you meet me. And of course, the second thing is, it says in Hebrews, is that Jesus provides purification for sins. That is, he helps to deal with a problem that gets in the way of our relationship with God. The problem in our relationship with God is our hearts. Hearts that are hard to God. Hearts that just won't listen. And Jesus on the cross melts those hearts, takes away our hearts that won't listen, and he forgives us, and he gives us a new heart and a new ability to listen to God and to relate to him. The problem then comes. If God speaks to us supremely through Jesus, and through Jesus helps us to have relationship with God, what happens when Jesus goes? What happens when Jesus disappears? See, that's what's going on here in this passage in chapter 16 of John's Gospel. How will God continue to communicate and relate to his people when Jesus isn't around? You see, John 16, the disciples are at their final training session before they go on a great adventure. You see, they're going to be given the task of taking the good news of Jesus to the whole world. In a sense, they're going to be the means by which the world hears from God and is brought back into relationship with God. It's going to be through those disciples. The problem is, they're not doing very well. If you read around chapter 16, you discover, you don't have to be Hercule Poirot to discover that they're not feeling very confident. They're struggling to make sense of their final training session. In verse 17, we're told, they're saying, what does he mean? What's he talking about? Verse 18, we don't understand what he's saying. Jesus is communicating, but they're not really understanding it. But Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry, because when I've gone, I'm sending somebody else. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the one who will literally come alongside you to help you to communicate about God and to enable people to come into relationship with God. One or two have heard this little illustration already. About the most scary and exhilarating thing I've ever done is free fall skydiving. And you launch yourself out of a plane at 12,000 feet with no parachute open. You hurtle towards the ground at 120 miles an hour. And then only after a little while do you pull the thing and up goes the chute. I have to tell you that this is the first time I've ever done it, in fact the only time I've ever done it, when I jumped out of the plane door, I have to tell you I had an incredible sense of peace and calm. Why? Because I spent the last hour with a guy who would be jumping with me. When you do freefall, you do not do it on your own first time round. You have someone strapped to your back. And so I had spent an hour with him where he told me how many thousands of times he had done it and he had clearly survived, how much he loved it. He taught me through how to be safe and how it all worked. So on the moment I sat on the edge of the plane, looking down, what mattered to me was this bloke who's attached to my back, who had faced it all before, knew what he was doing, and was strapped to my back. He was near, he was very near. And it changed how I felt as I came to jump out. And the joy of having the Trinity is this. It's not that Jesus is just sort of back then and we have to kind of hear his word and then we're on our own now, out there in the world, trying to tell the message of Jesus. Jesus says, no, the joy is there. I'm now coming to you by my Holy Spirit. So literally, I'm strapped to your back. Whatever you face each and every day. What a wonderful image that is. God is strapped to my back. Wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, it means I can trust him. And the passage here tells us he does a couple of things. The first thing is he leads us into all truth. He helps us to make sense. In the passage, it talks about Jesus saying, look, I know you can't bear all of this, disciples. This is too heavy to get your head around. And you're about to watch me die and rise again, and you're going to really struggle to get your head around that. He says, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to make sure you understand, to make sure you grasp what it's all about. And John, the most exciting thing for us is that in the Bible, we've got all of their testimony. And we can believe every word of what's here in the New Testament. Why? Because the Holy Spirit made sure those first disciples understood fully. That was the role of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit still today wants to help us to hear the voice of God. Which is why when you're in your small groups with your Bible open, you're praying, Holy Spirit, help me to hear your voice. Because you're a God who wants to communicate with me. But secondly, the other thing it says here the Holy Spirit does is bring glory to Jesus. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The role of the Holy Spirit is always to make Jesus known. Now you may think, hey, isn't that our job? Aren't we meant to be the ones out there making Jesus known? And Jesus will say, yeah, absolutely it is. But if you try it on your own, it will be a massive failure. The Holy Spirit helps us to make Jesus known. Can I tell you a story from my family? My daughter Becca is 24 years old. She, from birth, went on Christian camps because she was in my wife's womb when we were leaders. And she would come with us every year, and then she went on to Christian camps. She was part of our church, and at age 15, she said, I don't believe it. I don't want anything more to do with it. Really painful. And my wife was the youth worker in the church, even more painful. So in one sense, we had done our best. We had spoken to her about Jesus for years. Other leaders have spoken about Jesus for years. She'd been part of a church with all the children's groups leaders and youth leaders speaking to her about Jesus for years. And she says, I don't want to know. Well, during lockdown, my wife was doing some Bible studies with some students. And my daughter said, oh, can I join you online? Really? Okay. And then when that came to an end for the summer holidays, she said, Mum, do you mind if we keep reading the Bible online? She doesn't live with us. She lives in Cheltenham. And so they did. And Becca just said, you know, I've got this extraordinary hole in my life. And she realized that Jesus was that missing bit, and she suddenly gave her life to Jesus. She gave her life to Jesus, and then immediately she moved out from where she was living with her boyfriend. That was just her decision. She gave up her job working for the police, and now, 3 months ago, started a job as a youth worker in a church. And this summer will take her first group of young people on a camp so that they too might hear the good news of Jesus. You see, humanly speaking... Oh. The reason I say that is this, is that God is still in the business of speaking to his people. He's still in the business of wanting to relate to people. And yes, he uses us to go out there like those disciples thinking, I don't know enough. But the Holy Spirit is within us, strapped to our back. And he's the one that ultimately brings people to Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe he can still do that? Well, all we need to do then is to keep asking, Lord, Holy Spirit, please use me today to make Jesus known so that people hear his voice, so they come into relationship with him. Amen. So should we just take a moment of prayer? I know how painful it was when my daughter said, I don't want to know. And some of you will have family members maybe who you've prayed for years, who you long for to still be walking with the Lord or come to know the Lord for the first time. And why don't we just take a moment just to bring those people into our mind's eyes. I think about my brother as well, that sorry if this offends anybody, but we have season tickets together at Bristol City. You know, he professed the faith when he was young, but he is so far away from the Lord now. Why don't we just bring those people to the Lord? I'll pray for those. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a God who loves and communicates. That's what the Trinity is all about. That you, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, talk and love to be in relationship with you. But what's most extraordinary, Lord, is that you call us to come and be part of that conversation, to become part of that relationship. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he communicates you to so many people across this world. But I thank you, too, that you give us your Holy Spirit, so that we're not just left alone trying to convince people, but you can take Jesus and make him known to others. And we just think of those who we're thinking about now, Lord. We cry out to you that you might bring Jesus to them. You might open their eyes and open their ears, that they see Jesus, that they hear your voice speaking to them. And I guess a bit like Becca, just sometimes we have to admit we can't do any more. We don't have the right words. We don't seem to be able to convince, but the Holy Spirit is the expert in making Jesus known. So we simply ask, Holy Spirit, that you might make Jesus known to those we're thinking about now. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.